How are you feeling, Ollie? I imagine, you know, the disappointment of relegation, because it could have been avoidable if things had gone your way and the team's way. I imagine that's still very raw. This the club has been a part of your life for almost a decade now. A lot to process, but how are you feeling?
I think you summed it up. I think that, you know, it's whatever it is, 13 days since we got relegated, and that's really what you wake up to in the morning is certainly a huge disappointment. And, you know, maybe what, looking back and thinking what you could have done differently, the fact that I'm a longer manager is actually secondary, to be honest with you, Greg. It's the fact that we are now, the word they, as you said, being the fact that I'm no longer managing the club. I think that's really what I wake up to in the morning, and that'll take its process. But if it doesn't hurt, Greg, there was no point in me being in it, but it certainly does hurt that the fact that we got relegated, yeah.
I read some comments from you at the weekend, and I presume it was an accurate quote, where you said you wouldn't walk away. What happened in your meeting with the club that what happened with your meeting?
You don't beat around the bush, Greg, here. Look, listen, it was best for both parties. I from my point of view, and I know people don't like me repeating this, but it's a well-known fact that I had walked away this time last year with family commitments in Galway in particular. And because of my respect to some of the board members that met me, I went back in. And I did it for them who stood by me when we got relegated. Paul Hegarty was with me at the time 4 or 5 years ago, Greg, and we came straight back up the following year. So there's really, in an effort to try and stabilise the club, start again and try to avoid relegation and pass on the reins. But unfortunately, we came up short, and there's nobody to blame bar myself as regards falling short this year, that, you know, my recruitment wasn't good enough, and there's nobody passing the buck as regards you know, where we came up short. I had good years, I had bad years, but it was never about me. It was about the club. For anyone that knows me will understand what I mean by that, Greg.
Yeah, indeed. Do you regret then that extra year, because you did it, for the right reasons?
Yeah, do I regret it? If it was about me, I would, yeah. I knew in my head that this was going to be a hugely, hugely difficult task, much more difficult than any other year. And in the other years, regardless of the team that we built, we only survived in the last game of the season, invariably, or maybe a playoff. Mm. So losing 11 players and then David Webster, losing coaching staff, do I regret it? I could have done without the headaches, but I probably learned more in the last year about people than I did in 8 years, and I thought maybe I'd learned a fair bit over the years. But it certainly was an education, even at my stage.
What do you mean by that, you learned more about people in the last year?
We had brilliant years, and, you know, positively, I think last year our results weren't good enough, and I'd no right to be reappointed as manager, absolutely not. But positively, the supporters who were there through thick and thin in the difficult years and the good years and ending in a very difficult year, they stood by me and the players, and we had no right really for them to stand by us. They turned on us in years that we actually avoided relegation, and there was a hell of a lot of pride when I saw that happen. I thought, yeah, you're good people, you're hurting, and I would love, you know, that the club could get back on to the Premier Division for them as well as the whole community. But for them alone, I took a lot of pride in that, and driving up and down the road, I thought, yeah, you know, some of them are as mad as hatters. We're all mad, Greg, but I thought, yeah, they did a bit about them, and they knew the difficulty that the players and the management that were in, you know, we were struggling. There's no point in saying anything different. It wasn't the lack of effort, but they backed us right to the end, and I just would love to see the club get back up for them in particular, Greg.
After so many years in charge, Ollie, you know, does it become difficult as to what to say in the dressing room? Because, you know what you have to work with. You know everyone is probably trying as best as they can. You know the quality of the opposition that you're up against. Week in, week out, week in, week out. Does it get difficult in the dressing room to try and motivate?
It doesn't get any easier from year to year. But, I mean, the changing room, there's nobody in that changing room bar myself and Tommy Harkin. Mm. who was with me in Senate years before that, we're the only two that are in that changing room from 9 years ago. Because of the turnover of players and indeed staff, it constantly changes. So it's not like it's the same group in a changing room week in, week out, year in, year out. It's basically a different group. It changes slightly most years, but it changed hugely 12 months ago. Although that's not an excuse, Greg. We should have finished, you know, above UCD, and huge credit to them for getting to the playoff tomorrow. We wish them well in that. But we fell down, you know, there's no one passing the buck here, bar myself, that it was very disappointing. And it hurts, however, it certainly wasn't for the lack of effort on anyone's behalf and the staff that were there all through the years, and in particular this year. You learn a hell of a lot about people, as I said a few minutes ago, people who are with you and back you quietly and obviously when the chips are down, and everyone backs you when you're getting promoted. But, you know, you see who's with you and who isn't when you're rock bottom, as we were for parts of the season, and unfortunately at the end of the season as well, Greg.
Right, I'm not going to dwell on that, but you kind of mentioned that a couple of times. Do you think that maybe there are people that could have been a bit more supportive towards you? Is that what you're saying, and understood the challenges that you were facing? Do you feel that...
Look, we've had brilliant days, brilliant years, and, you know, you're talking about the good days. Here we are harping on the bad days, but you're talking about the night that BJ and Mickey Funson scored to get us up against Limerick many years ago. And I knew that night, and remember doing an interview afterwards, that here comes trouble, that, you know, well, in fairness to BJ, I knew how I was ahead. I knew how difficult the Premier Division was going to be. We'd brilliant nights, you know, down in Limerick in the second time we got promoted with Nathan Boyle and Martin and scoring to get us back up. And even in playoff games that we stayed up against Drogheda, they're probably the nights that stick out. You know, there were tough nights as well. You know, you're trying to harp on the negative side of it. Look, what I'm saying to you is that when you're maybe being pulled from pillar to post, as I was, and I knew of my commitments at home in Galway prior to going back in, and I made it quite clear that I would be commuting most of the time from Galway. And like, personally, you went from, you know, maybe 24, 48 hours without any sleep for your travelling. But nothing wavered with me. It wasn't that I was tired, although people tell me I'm tired. It might suit the brief to tell me I'm tired. I keep going, and I did. And the fact that you were bottom of the table would add to it. But what I'm saying to you about human beings is that when you're bottom of the table, the good people, they dig you out. Other people maybe throw meaningless problems at you. I won't say meaningless, but problems that could be dealt at a different level. And that would be the real education of the year for me, that, there's some brilliant people around that club and some brilliant volunteers that welcomed me 9 years ago. They hadn't a clue whether I could lace my boots or not, or whatever, but they welcomed me and backed me right the way through. And I'd love to see the club go back up. It's not about me, and it won't be. Of course, it would look great for me if the club didn't get promoted. It's not about me. I'm not involved in sport for that. I would love to see them come back up because they gave me a massive chance 9 years ago, and, you know, I can only thank them for that. I hope I've repaid it, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that you've repaid it and then some. Do you envy whomever's taking over next? I mean, you know, you...
I wish them every bit of success. I wish them well. As I said, they gave me a chance coming from intermediate football with Fannin United. And to be fair to them, in Fannin, it was probably, as Mickey Funson kept telling me, that was a good education for you. And it was brilliant, brilliant people that, on a small scale, that probably prepared you for Finn Harps, similar on a national scale. And, you know, do I envy who's coming in? I wish them nothing but success. And while I won't be on the sideline, I'm sure I'll be at some of the games on the terrace, but I won't be of the manager, Greg, in that manner.
Will you be in the opposition dugout? I mean, obviously, you have had a fantastic... this is a new show. This is a new show now, Ollie. I'm going to get everything out of you. Come here. You've obviously had a fantastic 9 years with working with, you know, the resources that you did. A lot of people would be very interested now to see you perhaps maybe at a club, you know, with more resources.
Greg, that's easier said than done. Like, you know, while my phone has been ringing since, it hasn't been, there's no one from other clubs ringing me, if that makes sense, and I'm not one to pretend. Yes, there were opportunities to go other places over the years, without doubt, and as there were with loads of my staff and loads of the players, it's not that we don't go telling people, you know, about it, but just, you know, I need to take stock. If the phone rings and something comes up, well and good. I don't intend to hang up the boots or to be sent out to pasture just yet, you know, and people that tell me I'm tired, Greg.
Oh, no, don't listen to them. 11, yeah, don't, you know, listen. Don't, you know yourself. You don't need to listen to other people. But there's nothing I said on.
I don't
the,
mean. I don't
do you know
mean
what
it,
I? No, but funny you say, Ollie.
Either,
I
know
that on the program yesterday, I said I hate when people say you look tired, especially when you don't, because it starts making you question how you look. So I kind of get a sense. You know yourself better than anyone. But in terms of if the phone call came in, Ollie, is there a particular level now that you would be, you know, that would entice you? Do you know what I mean? Is it sort of League of Ireland level? Would you go back the way a bit? You know, like what would excite you now from a challenge perspective?
I've no idea, Greg. Like I don't have any idea. It's not about me. It never was. It's about Finn Harps, and part of my heart will always be with them. And because of the manner and the chance that they gave me and the way that they backed me over the years, and I've got, of course, you know, it's hurting hugely that we got relegated. That's where the hurt is.
Yeah,
it's not the fact that I'm no longer manager. There's a relief that I'm no longer manager, to be honest, Richard Gregg, but it's still, the hurt is still there from getting relegated last Friday week, and I need to get over that before I think about anything else.
It's a bit wrong, I get you.
The phone might never ring, Greg, so it might be a question that I never have to answer, to put it that way.
Well, I doubt that greatly. Ollie, highlight of the last 9 years, you've picked on a few of them, the great escapes and players that you put faith in, returning that faith, and that those amazing nights that you had as well. What would be the highlight? Is there an individual thing that's the highlight, or is it an overall experience, or what?
It's I think I gave you some of the highlights. Some of the highlights would have been surviving in the last day of the season, where it wasn't the maybe the huge occasion of getting promoted. But I think out of a little bit of innocence, way back when Mickey Funston and BJ got us promoted in Finn Park against Limerick, you know, it was very much a local group, a local staff that just bought into it. And, you know, we've had great days since that and difficult days. But probably out of, you know, it probably wasn't, if you like, corrupted then, or it wasn't like, you know, there was a lot of maybe innocence and trusting people as they were. Probably that night in the playoff where we were 1-0 down from the Marcus Field and we won in extra time. Yeah, probably that night over the years. Although we've had many, many good nights, but unfortunately we had a number of difficult ones as well, Greg.
But that's sport, isn't it? That is the sport.
Yeah,
would you ever return?
To
Finn Harps.
Well, like me, I intend to return whenever the season starts and support them. You know, there's no problem with that. If you're saying returning,
no, go as manager, in 4, 5, 6.
I have no idea. Certainly they won't want to see me back for a while. You know, you never say never. Look, let's see what happens. I'm not one to sit in the house, and, you know, I certainly haven't sat in the house since we finished on Sunday, and I don't intend to do that either. Whether that's football, wherever that may be, I don't know, Greg.
Right,
but let's see. And as I said to you, I still need to process the disappointment of getting relegated before, you know, I go and look at anything further down the line. But never say never, and I won't be closing any door should anyone, you know, look for me in time to come.
Lots of people texting in saying thanks, Ollie. I mean, it's an amazing commitment, almost a decade. And as you say, there's been highs and lows, but all of that forms why we follow clubs and that's sport.
Yeah.
And it is sport. So enjoy whatever time you have. I have a feeling your phone will be ringing off the hook at some point, Ollie. But for now, thank you so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome, Greg.
Take care.
That's
Ollie Horgan, the former Finn Harps manager, and it's 9 years before you could say that. We're going to be joined very shortly by our Finn Harps correspondent, Dermot Doherty, but I also want to bring in Kathy Tath, who is secretary at Finn Harps Football Club. I'm not sure how much of Ollie's comments you heard there, but I suppose from the get-go, Kathy, it's a big thanks from Finn Harps to Ollie Horgan, is it?
Indeed. Good morning, Greg. Thank you for the invitation to come on. I heard much about Ollie said, not all of it, you're right. it's a huge thanks. Absolutely. What he has done is phenomenal. It kind of just, you know, flies out of people's lips, long-serving manager in the League of Ireland. But that is, you know, that in itself is quite a statement. For anyone who's involved in Premier Division, in League of Ireland football, Premier Division, First Division, it doesn't matter. It's a full-time job. And Ollie Horgan has done it while doing his own job, while, as he's outlined, you know, having a family, having the commitment to, you know, the commitment that he spoke about. I mean, they're all his business. I'm not going to speak to them, but it's amazing.
His modesty perhaps doesn't allow him to talk about the extensive nature of the job. It's not a case of turning up, take training, stand on the sideline for a game, especially at particular levels. There's an awful lot more to Finn Harps manager's job than might meet the eye for most of us.
There is to every manager's job, but particularly Finn Harps, and particularly so because of, one, our location, the other, our part-time status, and the fact that by the very nature of that part-time status, the majority of our players are Ollie, our management, our backroom staff, who are huge and many. I mean, we have a Cora-registered physiotherapist, dietitian, who has a master's in sports nutrition and, you know, specifically studied or researched high-intensity football, you know, the needs in the body for high-intensity football in terms of hydration and nutrition. And I'm not doing her much credit here, am I? You know, our strength and conditioning coach spent 8 years with Derry City, was asked by Kenny Shields to join the team for the Northern Ireland women's team, the Northern Ireland ladies team. So, you know, that's the calibre our backroom staff, our coaching staff, our goalkeeper coaches, you know, I mean, and this is the danger when you start naming anybody.
No, I understand. Well, listen, I'll move on then to take you out of that, to help you out of that. But you're talking about all of the commitment, and I get you, it's a whole team. Ollie Horgan came back.
The point, though.
Yep.
Sorry, Greg. No, the point is they've all come, and they've all come to a part-time setup, and they've all come because it's Ollie Horgan, not because it's Finn Harps, not because, you know, any of the rest of us are there. It's because Ollie said to them, you know, will you come join our setup and give a hand? And they've stayed, many of them, for as long as Ollie has been there.
Yeah.
So it's he's
it's a credit to him, indeed.
He's phenomenal.
He came back for another year. He said on Sunday that he wouldn't walk away. He met obviously with reps from the club, and a decision was taken by mutual consent for Ollie to leave. Was it the club's wish to go in a different direction?
You know, a lot of people are saying that, and I see a lot of comments, Greg, you know, about how the board should, you know, really made a poor decision. It was a joint decision. It wasn't the board's decision. And, you know, the board, I would say, and have said to anybody who's asked me this, is, you know, as reflective as our fan base. There are those who absolutely felt that Ollie's time, you know, his time had come, you know, to move on. Others who wanted him to remain, even give it one more year. You know, so it wasn't, the, you know, and I've heard it, oh gosh, he sacked Ollie Horgan. The board did not sack Ollie. The board met with Ollie. We've discussed this, and mutually it was decided. And, you know, there are those on the board, and I'm one of them, who are so sad and so disappointed that Ollie has not given it.
I presume he also would have brought, not demands as such, he would have brought requests to the table for that meeting as well. In other words, if he were to continue, I presume he would have some, maybe even hinted at them during that interview. He would have had some expectations that maybe Finn Harps couldn't have met.
I don't agree with that. I don't know that Ollie was saying that.
No, it's a question. Cathy, it's a question. I'm not making statements. It's just a question for you to say yes or no or whatever you want to say.
I would say no, to be fair, and I think Ollie would acknowledge that the board has backed him for the last 9 years.
Brilliant.
You know, we came up the first time from the First Division with a budget of 2,500 per year, which, you know, we think about it, it's remarkable. But again, Ollie Horgan brought us up and everybody around him for 2,500. The budget has increased, you know, year on year. We're a part-time club. We rely so much on, you know, on our gates, on our sponsors, on our commercial outputs. And many clubs don't have to do that. You know, they have a benefactor who will write checks, and, you know, nothing is an issue. And, you know, we haven't had that. So, you know, the board has given that commitment, and I know Ollie will acknowledge and does acknowledge that that's a fact.
Yeah.
So no, there were no demands. I didn't hear them if there were.
No, that's it. That's stated clearly, Cathy.
There absolutely weren't.
Yeah. Okay.
I was at that meeting.
Brilliant. That's it. It was just a question to try and so the listeners know. Finally, what is the process now for appointing in a replacement, Cathy? I mean, we're obviously in the closed season now, but it's the sooner someone knows they're in that position, the better, I suppose. So, what's the process now in appointing a successor?
There's a group or a subgroup that are going to manage this piece. An advertisement will go out. I mean, I've already, as club secretary, much of the correspondence and the communication comes via my email. Already, we have received emails with our expressions of interest. The process will be, to formally set that in place and to filter what I hope will be many applications. Draw up a shortlist. There's an interview process. I think ordinarily the managers or the potential managers make a presentation. You know, it'll be done over a number of meetings with the prospective new manager. It's not just a matter of reaching out and tapping somebody on the shoulder and saying, "Come here, come in and fill these enormous shoes." So that's where we're at the moment, and I'm not going to be directly involved with that piece, so I'm probably not the best person to speak to it, really.
Okay, right. And very finally, Cathy, as far as you're aware, is it a case of invites only? It's not invites only, but, opening up.
No.
but what I'm trying to get at is here, there is the possibility also to approach people, presumably, as well as to advertise the position.
I would expect so. Yeah. I'm sure every avenue is going to be explored. I'm not going to be doing it, but those that are have done it before. They engaged Ollie Horgan, and that wasn't a bad call.
No, good one. Yeah.
So I'm sure, yeah.
All right, brilliant stuff, Cathy. And it's exciting times ahead. It's disappointment, obviously, after, to say goodbye to someone who served so loyally at the club, and obviously with relegation, but it's a building process again now. Exciting times ahead in terms of new facilities, still great work ongoing in terms of, engaging with the youth, and growing that side of things as well. So, whilst we're in a period of disappointment with Ollie moving on after his loyal service and relegation, it's still a very positive mood, is it, around Finn Harps about the future and where the club and its environs are going?
It is, Greg, because there's lots to be positive about. I mean, our stadium, certainly, and that's going to be a Donegal stadium. It's not just going to be Finn Harps Stadium. It's going to be a facility for the entire county, which is brilliant. So fair play to Paul McLoone for absolutely turning that around and getting us to where we are. That's hugely exciting. First division isn't a bad thing, as you say. Our youth are there. They certainly will be very evident in the first division, because the step up from under 19s to Premier Division, it's quite a gap, it's quite a gulf. Very few can do it and do it well. So first division is definitely a good stepping stone for many of our underage graduates, for want of a better word, our academy graduates. And I imagine that there are quite a few stars of the future, who will emerge there. And it's, whoever comes in, the request of the board will be that we finish as strongly as possible and ideally get back up and out of the first division, if not in the first year, then very quickly after that.
Brilliant stuff.
We know what can be done. It's been done twice now. So that's really what we hope the future will be.
Cathy Taff, thank you very much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Secretary at Finn Harps Football Club. Now, Dermot Doherty, my apologies for holding you so long, but I think actually it's quite interesting for our conversation for us to hear from Ollie and Cathy there as well. Dermot, you've been covering these games, going to these games for so long. It's got to be strange, the next one that you attend, and it won't be Ollie Horgan in the dugout.
Yeah, it's an end of an era, isn't it, Greg? And it's very interesting, as you say, to hear what Cathy had to say there and Ollie before her, just to get an insight into exactly what has been going on over this last while. But it all came to a head this week with Ollie's departure. And it will be very strange, because we've worked with him for the past 9 years, and we've built up a relationship and got to know him away from the football. It's been great. It's been exciting. This season has been tough. Any supporters that you talk to about the the standard, the style of football, the disappointing run of results, everything. It was all so disappointing in so many aspects. But, I mean, you know, it's probably just a shame that that's the way it has ended.
Yeah, it's always nice to go out on a high, but sure, who walks away on a high? Do you know what I mean? Jeremy, I mean, obviously there's a personal relationship there and a respect thing there, but there's also a fan element to it as well. Do you think this was the right decision at this time, or maybe he's done it a couple of times before, another year to give Ollie what he needs to try and get Hearts back up? What's your feelings, or the mixed feelings, or what do you feel?
Yeah, probably mixed feelings, Greg. You know, it would be easy for me to say, oh, you know, they should have let Ollie stay. They should have given him another go in the first division. But, I mean, the question is, did Ollie want to stay? You know, was his heart in it? You know, was he going to be happy to stay in the current circumstances with the board of directors that were there? You know, there's so many aspects to it, Greg. But, yeah, from a personal level, I mean, I knew Ollie before he took over as Finn Harps manager, because, you know, I knew him from my days at St. Union's College when I played on one of his teams. So he was a manager for me when I was a footballer. I got to know him then when he was playing with Fanage United, when he was managing Fanage United. And so when he joined Finn Harps, I knew him before that. I knew a lot of what he brought to the table. But believe you me, I've got to know him a lot better since, Greg. And I have so much respect for the man. What he's brought to Finn Harps has been unreal. Finn Harps have had good managers over the years, Greg, and we shouldn't forget that. Mm. You know, Harps have been lucky to have, you know, the names jump out at you. Paul Hegarty before Ollie Horgan was a class act. James Gallagher, Anthony Gorman, Charlie McGeever back in the 90s, Patsy McGowan way back when. All good people, all good football people. But Ollie, you know, I think it's fair to say he brought things to a new level. Kathy touched on it there. The way he set up his you know, we can call the backroom team, the nutritionists that he brought in, the goalkeeping coaches, and not only that, Greg, but the players that he brought to the club as well. And I think it was even Kathy that touched on it there herself, and that, you know, it's a credit to her. They didn't come to join Finn Harps. They came as much for Ollie as anything. Yeah. Mm. It was Ollie who
and I suppose that makes the next appointment all the more. So let's run through who could take over next. We talked about the importance of the academy and academy players coming through, playing in the first division next year. Then, of course, the name Kevin McHugh would spring to mind. You know, he's Finn Harps through and through. I'm not sure how keen he might be to give up the work that he's currently doing to take on the job of manager. But, I mean, obviously Kevin McHugh is a name that would be linked to this job. What do you think of the chances there?
Yeah, Kevin McHugh will definitely be among the favourites. And, you know, I hope he gives it some thought. I hope he is given consideration as well by the club. Kevin is extremely popular among supporters. He's an all-time, you know, one of the top goal scorers in the club's records. And as you say, he's Finn Harps through and through and has been involved at underage level with the academies and things like that. So, yeah, he's definitely a prospect worth considering.
It's kind of whether he wants it or not, is it?
That's the thing, Greg. It might be too early for Kevin. You know, maybe it just doesn't suit him. You don't know what's going on in terms of his work, his own work, his own personal life. Yeah. You know, well, things have to happen at the right time.
We saw how Ollie made the transition. Gavin Cullen then is another name that might spring to mind. Cockhill, Celtic manager, former Harps keeper. Boxes being ticked all over the place there.
Exactly, Gavin as well. Declan Boyle, who was on with Oisin on the Sports Bulletin this morning, has to be a candidate as well, because Declan was there with Harps at the underage setup, along with Joe Boyle, who's another name that has been mentioned. Declan is now managing at under-19 level with Sligo Rovers, knows the game, knows the players that are coming up, and I'm sure Declan would love an opportunity to manage at League of Ireland level again. Is it the right time? Declan works down in County Leitrim. You know, he's got
not as far away as Galway.
So, not as far away as Galway, yeah. So, this, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Kathy mentioned there as well was that, you know, the emails have started to come in already, even though Ollie's only gone, you know, literally hours at this stage.
Yeah, I thought that interesting, all right.
Yeah, so, you know, listen, the League of Ireland football's strange, Greg. I've always found over the years, it's almost like a managerial merry-go-round at times. You know, a manager leaves one club, he ends up somewhere else, and then he moves on somewhere else. And players, similarly, you know, the amount of players that are playing at League of Ireland level that have played with other clubs within the League of Ireland too, you know. Mm. So
it's a small pool, isn't it? But there's three quality names. And I'll tell you, it's not... I mean, we've seen in GEA circles and elsewhere how difficult it is to even maybe identify prospective candidates. But there is there's a richness there already, and that's not to mention who might be looking for it. A curveball. Now, I'm not sure what Jim McGuinness's status is in terms of availability to actually manage at the moment. But, you know, if you're looking for maybe a name that might bring something else to the party as well, hugely respected. We know the kind of work he can do on nutrition and all that type of stuff. I mean, is it nonsense to suggest Jim McGuinness? He likes managing soccer teams now.
No, Greg, I don't think it's nonsense. Would I like to see Jim McGuinness there as manager of Finn Harps? Yes, I would love it. Again, as much as I have respect for Ollie as a person and as a manager, you know, what can we say about Jim McGuinness and what he has done for sport here in the Northwest? So if he was given the opportunity, I'll put it this way, I would love to see Jim McGuinness managing Finn Harps. If he ended up managing Derry City or Dundalk, where he was linked before, you know, I'd be thinking, why didn't Finn Harps get him? You know, that would be my first question. How come Harps missed out there? So, you know, yes, I'm sure the name Jim McGuinness that it's been mentioned, it's not been mentioned by accident. There's a reason for it. You know, has contact been made? I don't know. And again, would it suit Jim McGuinness at this stage of his standings, of his situation to come and manage a club like Finn Harps? I don't know. But I suppose all we can do is watch this space.
Jim would be, I mean, you spoke very highly there of Declan Boyle, and this is not in any way speaking negative of others, but for you, would it be Declan or Jim would be your favourites?
Greg, I honestly don't know. I remember when Ollie was appointed manager back in November of 2013, 9 years ago, they called a press conference to announce the manager, and genuinely walked into the press conference and Ollie was sitting at the top table, and I did not expect to see Ollie sitting there that day.
So nothing would surprise you, and listen,
Ollie's appointment, I remember asking Ollie, one of the questions at that press conference that day was, Ollie had a young family at that time. Now they're, you know, his children have grown up now 9 years later, but he had young kids at that time. I think he had four children. And one of the questions I put to him was his, you know, how's he going to be able to juggle family life and children and Finn Harps? And he answered it in a typical Ollie fashion. He says, listen, he says, you know, we'll just get on with it. These are things you've got to deal with, you know.
I suppose it's like every job. We all do it, really, don't we? I mean, yeah, it's not just because you manage a team.
Yeah, okay. But Craig, you know what, Ollie's unreal. I mean, you know, he did juggle family life. His parents living down in Galway. His mum sadly passed away recently. He would be up and down to Galway visiting them. He's got his work in St. Eunan's College and all the other things going on in his life as well. It wasn't just Finn Harps. Yeah. He was involved at schoolboys level in football. So, hey, you could ring him any time, any hour of the day, and he could literally be anywhere.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, he's a big miss. There's no doubt about that. But so many happy memories, and of course, because it is sport, there's sad memories, disappointing memories, sorry, probably a better way of putting it, to reflect on. All right, we'll see how it goes. When do you expect a successor to actually be appointed, Jeremy? Obviously, they have their ducks in a row. They're all action now in terms of trying to get someone in place. How long do you think that process might take?
Again, I'm not sure, Greg. Hopefully sooner rather than later, because the new season will be up and running. You know, after Christmas, I'm sure they'll get back for pre-season. The new League of Ireland season will kick off in late February, early March of next year. We thought that the process of appointing a manager within the Donegal GAA scene would have been straightforward, and that proved totally different, Greg. So who knows how this will go, but hopefully it won't be as slow and frustrating as that.
Okay, doke. Listen, Jeremy, thanks for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Jeremy Doherty there, Finn Harps correspondent for us here at Highland Radio.